Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Evangel Church. It's wonderful to see all of your faces here this morning. Join me and stand, and why don't you just greet someone near you, say hello to someone perhaps you don't know, and welcome them to church this morning. The scripture says, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst. Amen. And so God is the God who is all-powerful. He is the God of creation, the God who is mighty, but he is also the God of our salvation, the God who is gracious and kind and merciful. And so we're acknowledging him today. So let's sing together. We're going to sing Raise a Hallelujah. A hallelujah in the presence of my enemies, and I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Come on, and I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah, and heaven comes to fight for me. Come on, let's sing it again. Raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Oh, I raise a hallelujah, and louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. Oh, I raise a hallelujah. And it comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise, and death is defeated. The King is alive. Yeah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. With everything inside of me. Oh, I raise a hallelujah, and I will watch the darkness flee. Oh, I raise a hallelujah. Oh, I will love the mystery. Yes, I raise a hallelujah, and fear has lost its hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of this storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. King, you, I'm gonna sing, yeah, in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise, and death is defeated. The King is alive, He is alive. Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. We'll sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder. My weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder, and heaven comes. Sing it out. Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder. Louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder. Oh, our weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. That's it. Let me hear my praises. Oh, up from the ashes. And hope will arise. Death is defeated. The king is, I'm gonna sing. Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of this storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. And death is defeated. The king is alive. The king is alive. Listen, and I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Go ahead.
Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The king is alive.
You are alive and you live in. To teach you a new song this morning called Battle Belongs. How many know that God goes before us and he fights every battle, every challenge in his power? Let's sing this.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see the mountain made. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you.
Let's sing that together. Okay. When all I see.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. Yeah. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe.
So when I fight,
I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet. And I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you.
If you are for me.
And if you are for me, you can't be against me. For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty, yes, Lord. When all I see is a cross, God, you see an empty tomb.
On every voice.
So when I fight, I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs. So when I fight, I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, The battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of Almighty Fortress. And Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Yeah. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet. I sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet. And I sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of almighty fortress. And almighty fortress, and you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight
on my knees, with my hands lifted high.
And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet. And I sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Amen. Amen. Every fear, every battle, it's God's. What a great song for this morning. Why don't you turn and greet someone as you find your way to your seats, and we just have a few announcements for you after that. All right, you may be seated. Well, it's great to see you here at church this morning on this rainy day, but God is still alive in this place, and we are so excited for all that He is doing. Just a few quick announcements. Yesterday was the yard sale for Open Hands Global. The past few weeks, you've seen all the stuff. You've brought in stuff to donate for this yard sale. It was piled up in the coat area, and yesterday was the day. It was perfect weather, and I got the report that there was $2,400 raised for this yard sale. And the money that was brought in allows the team for Open Hands Global to send 4 children to school for a full year, provide for transport, books, their after-school program, and a healthy meal every single day. So we just want to thank you for your generosity. We want to thank all the volunteers who came and helped the team yesterday. It was an amazing day, and we thank you for your support for that amazing ministry. Our next announcement is for Adopt-A-Shelf. We can see at the back there we have a table with cans of tomato products for the Kerr Street Ministries Adopt-A-Shelf program. We are partnering with them for this program for the next 2 weeks. So we're collecting for another 2 weeks after this week. And it's, again, tomato products. So tomato paste, pizza sauce, diced tomatoes, all fill their shelf with this one product in particular. So again, we're collecting for the next 2 weeks. We hope to raise 350 items for Kerr Street, for their food market, which helps feed many families every week. So I thank you in advance for your generosity. And again, we see cans starting to fill up the table back there. So that is amazing. Last week, Pastor Shannon announced that we had some cookbooks that we made as a church for a missions fundraiser a few years ago. And they're at the information desk. They're filled with recipes from our church family. And so if you want to take one, they are free of charge. Please take them home. If you don't know what to do with a cookbook, my child used it as a coloring book yesterday, so they are multi-purpose. There's more than one way to use them. But they are there at the information desk at the back on your way out. You can collect one if you so desire. My last announcement is young adults for any college or university age students, for young professionals, young couples, or the young at heart. We are meeting here at the youth room tonight for our young adults program at 7 p.m. So we look forward for you to be able to join us for that. It's our last worship night of, rather before the summer. So we hope to see you there. At this point, I'd like to invite all nursery age children ages 0 to age 4. Our nursery is available for you to drop your children off. It is fully staffed, and our staff will look after your child there during the service. Kids, ages 4 to grade 5, you are free to go and meet your volunteers at the side doors here. Have a great time at Kids Church. Ushers, you may start to come and collect the morning's tithes and offerings, and John, I will turn it back over to you. Thank you.
We stand together. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me, and I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound, his body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance by heaven's stone, Messiah stand, and all alone. No praise of the Lord our God, no praise his name forever. The blazing sun
shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Let's sing that again. He shall return.
He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
To him this morning. Oh, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your sacrifice for us. We thank you, Lamb of God. We thank you for the cross. You lay down your life for us. We praise. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. We thank you for the cross, our friend. Oh, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my.
Can you sing that this morning? Lift it up.
Oh, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. We thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. We thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. We thank you for the cross, my friend. We thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. And I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy.
Go ahead, lift your voice.
And
And I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone, and I long to worship you. Our worthy. Just one more time to the heart of the Father. And I will give you all my worship. And I will give you all my praise. And you alone I long to worship. Only you. You alone I worthy. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good. Good, oh, you are good, good, oh. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. The King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good, you're good. Oh, yes, you are good, you're good. Come on, can you sing that this morning? You're never gonna, you're never, come on, he's faithful, he's faithful. You're never gonna, you're never gonna, no, no, no. You're never gonna, you're never gonna, let's sing that together. 'Cause you're never gonna let, you're never gonna. You're good, oh, you are good, yeah, yeah. Oh, you are good, Lord, you are good, Lord. Reliable, trustworthy, dependable, Lord. And you're never gonna, unshakable, unmovable, Lord. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let. You're never gonna let me down. You are. You are. You are good, Lord. Oh. Thank you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. All together. You are here, moving in our. Yes, you are. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship. We call you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You are here. Healing. Healing every heart. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. In the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you work. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
You never stop working.
You never stop.
You never stop working.
Come on. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. Oh. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. One more time, sing. And even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop working.
He is moving. Cause you're the way maker. You are the way maker. Promise keep light
in the darkness, my God,
That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God.
That is who you are.
One more time, sing. Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light
in the darkness,
my God,
that is who you are.
Oh, you are. Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yeah.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. God, we know you by so many names, by Waymaker, by a miracle worker, a promise keeper, light in the darkness. And God, we know you as Savior. We know you as healer. We know you as our one true love. So Father, we lift up your name in this place. God, we worship you for who you are to all of us, Lord Jesus. You are alive in our lives. God, there is nothing that we go through that is beyond your sight, that is beyond your ability. Thank you for this time we have to worship you this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we go about our service, you continue to reveal things to us about who you are. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading today is found in Mark chapter 5. We're reading verse 1 to 6. And it says, "So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him." Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully this morning. I think it's safe to say that we've all found ourselves in a situation that we'd say was out of our comfort zones. Many of us have different limits on what our comfort zones are, what we find comfortable doing and what we find uncomfortable doing. Usually a comfort zone is created based on a fear we have, whether it's one that we gain from experience or a fear of trying something new. But a lot of times, being outside of your comfort zone acknowledges that you have a lack of control over the situation. If you know me, you know that I'm not a guy who goes on roller coasters. I am more than happy to simply be the bag man for everyone else who wants to go. I will wait at the bottom and take pictures. I'm perfectly fine with that. And if I'm not holding your bags, I'm on the spinning teacups ride. All right? It's fun. I am not a roller coaster guy. But there is one ride in particular that isn't a roller coaster, that some would actually even say is scarier than a roller coaster, that I love so much. In fact, I love it so much that I actively try to convince others to go with me on it when we do trips to Wonderland, and that ride is Drop Zone or Drop Tower. For those who have never done it, Drop Zone is simply a tower, as you see behind you, with a ring on it that sits people around the tower. And this tower raises you real slowly, 230 feet up in the air. And if you do this at Wonderland in particular, it's so tall that you can see out to the entire parking lot. And oftentimes when I bring someone on with me, they're usually pretty scared. So I say, hey, just look out, try to find your car, right? It distracts you for a few moments. It never usually helps because in a few seconds you're jolting towards pure metal and cement at speeds that will literally take your breath away. But you know, you try to do what you can to calm people down in the moment. You often hear other people, as the ride starts going up, praying, hopefully, that this gets finished with soon and that they land safely. But then you have me cackling maniacally because I live off of people's fear on that ride. I don't know how I became this way, or even when I first went on Drop Zone. I probably blocked it out because of the trauma, but something from that experience made me want to keep doing it. And what is consistent in those moments is that many people who go on those rides are outside of their comfort zone. And in those moments, we recognize an inability to rely on our own power to see us through. Today, we're actually wrapping up our spring sermon series titled The People in Your Neighborhood. And we're wrapping it up by looking at the passage we read in Mark chapter 5. To say it is an explosive one would be an understatement, as we only read the first part of the passage this morning. But as it continues, we can read about Jesus casting out multiple demons from this man, sending them into nearby pigs, and the pigs running into the water and then drowning. But what I truly believe we can find by exploring this passage of Scripture is not just a radical story of Jesus performing probably the most detailed exorcism in the entire Bible, but a blueprint for how to trust in the authority of Jesus when our own authority is no longer enough. Now, this is not just a situation where the pastor's away, so the youth pastor's starting to talk about demons. But if you're taking notes this morning, what I want us all to see is that being the neighbor we should be means there will be moments where we will be forced outside of our comfort zones, and our reliance will need to be on the authority of Jesus, not on our own abilities. This account of Jesus and the demoniacs, as they are often referred to, and I say demoniacs, is repeated in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in Matthew's gospel, there are two men, while in Mark and Luke's, there is only one possessed man mentioned. I believe that the number of men is not what's important for us to take away from this incident. What is important for us to see is the mission of Jesus and the authority he has in regards to our theme of loving our neighbor, as demonstrated in this story. So our first point this morning is the other side. I want to start by bringing a little historical context to the front of our minds this morning, because everything about this story sets up something really fascinating, in my opinion. We can read in the previous chapter in Mark that the very last thing before was the story of Jesus calming the storm as the disciples and he were in a boat trying to cross the other side of the lake. And now when we read they had survived the storm, Jesus demonstrated his authority by calming the wind and the waves, absolutely astonishing the disciples. They reached their destination at the other side of the lake, but what was on the other side that Jesus was desperate to reach in the first place? It says in our text that they arrived on the other side in the region of the Gerasenes, and this place was actually part of a larger region called the Decapolis, because it was made up of 10 different cities. And during the time of Christ, the 10 cities of Decapolis and the surrounding region was inhabited mostly by Gentiles, not Jews, and so the area had a strong Greek influence. And in Jesus' day, there was a strong conflict between Jews and Gentiles because of differing beliefs. So this wasn't a place Jews would ever typically go. And yet here we read about Jesus purposefully crossing the lake into Gentile territory in order to extend his love and his grace to them. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at different ways that Jesus calls us to love our neighbor and even defining who our neighbors are. And I think there's no greater example than the one Jesus sets here at the beginning of the story by heading into Gentile territory. Territory where Jews weren't welcome, not that any would want to set foot there in the first place. But Jesus knew that the idea of neighbor needed to expand beyond the borders of Israel and into all the world, and where better to begin than in the place and with the people that Israel had shunned for being unclean, or enemies to be rejected or pushed away, outside of the scope of where the presence of God was said to be focused. What's even more interesting to me about this, and not wanting to assume too much, but you have to wonder since our passage is written this way, is that the text only specifies Jesus getting out of the boat once they arrive. And you have to wonder at this, because we know the disciples are in the boat with Jesus. They just woke him up during that fearsome storm, and they were in awe when Jesus calmed it before their eyes. So we know that they are there, and who knows, maybe they took their nap at that time, because after a stressful situation, I like to take a nap too. More than likely, though, the disciples were simply out of their comfort zone. They were used to Jesus going around to other towns up until now and villages throughout Israel where they could preach and perform miracles among other Jews. But for them, this was an exponentially different situation than what they were used to that forced them to be more outside of their comfort zones than I'm sure they were used to being. And I wonder how many of us today can attest to that feeling of thinking that is just too far outside of our comfort zones to go and demonstrate the love of Jesus to someone or to people that we feel in the moment we don't want any connection with. How many times have we walked by, for example, people on the street asking for something, anything to have to eat or money to buy some food? And I'm certainly not exempt from doing this. Don't get me wrong. It's a point that I'm actively trying to change to be a better neighbor like Jesus calls me to be. But it certainly is difficult to do that. We have preconceived notions oftentimes of how people get into the situations they find themselves in. There have been times we've put our ideas about living a life of faith, right, keeping our distance from quote-unquote sinful people or being quote-unquote good Christians before actually doing the things Jesus has asked us to do. Love, not fear, our neighbors, strangers, those who are oppressed, and even our enemies. We don't often ask how fear motivates our decisions and our definitions and the impact of being outside of our comfort zones has on the people we try our hardest to ignore. Yes, it doesn't say the disciples didn't get out of the boat in this story, but how many of us can actually relate more to wanting to stay in the metaphorical boat in this instance when the mission of Jesus to love our neighbors calls us to disembark and step out in faith no matter what or who we may encounter? God's love is one that compels us to get our hands dirty in relationships with people we're tempted to be suspicious of or look down upon, even when this means going far outside of our comfort zones. I almost wonder if we've put aside Jesus' teaching and adopted a different standard for what a good Christian is, one that lets us shelter together and avoid going out into the world for the safety of our church seats. So did the disciples get out of the boat? I'm not sure. But Mark does go out of his way to write down that it was only Jesus who got out of the boat and Jesus alone, and he went into Gentile territory. And no sooner than Jesus got out of the boat did this man come out from among the tombs to meet him. The translation I read from this morning says that this man was possessed by an evil spirit, but other translations, depending on what you read, can use words like impure or unclean. This description is just a hint of what we're going to be looking at in our next point, but the word and the idea of unclean actually appears quite often in relation to our text this morning. Not only was this man possessed by unclean spirits, but he was located in Gentile territory, and Jews saw Gentiles as unclean, and this man as well was among the tombs. For Jews, for someone to be among the dead in such a way would make someone unclean, and they would have to go through a seven-day purification ritual in order to even be clean, considered clean again. In this region were pig farmers, and the Jewish people considered pigs an unclean animal. So to get this straight, Jesus meets a man with an unclean spirit, living among unclean tombs, surrounded by people employed in unclean occupations, all in unclean Gentile territory. That would be the popular view of Jesus' actions held by Jewish tradition, perhaps even what his disciples were thinking at the time. Talk about the love of God, hey? Loving our neighbor, truly loving our neighbor, doesn't mean just those that we are comfortable loving. The love of God knows no such limits or boundaries. The love God has for all people dictates that we go to the places that we may find uncomfortable, to the people we have developed preconceived notions of, or even have been raised and told to stay away from, so that they too may see the love of Jesus. Our second point is on the demoniac. In these next few verses, we get a lot of information on the man possessed by many evil spirits. This was a man who was a terror to himself and to others. Even in life, he was consigned to live among the dead. People tried to bind him in the past with chains and shackles, but with almost superhuman-like strength, he tears them apart without issue, so they leave him be. Day and night, the people living nearby could hear this man howling and wailing almost in a way that is animal-like, and he would purposely cut himself with sharp stones. It's an image and a description that honestly, truly is chilling. But the before and after descriptions of this man reveal a totally different person under demonic influence. When Jesus casts out the demons, the people in town come to see what has happened, and they see the man they had once tried to bind in chains and cast out to live among the tombs, completely dressed and in his right mind. A few verses from what we read, Mark chapter 15, it says, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. This man's own identity and individuality were seemingly swallowed up by the evil spirits. And if there was ever a man who was beyond all help, this was the guy, right? Everything about him said hopeless or useless. No doubt those kinds of things were said about him by the people who previously tried to chain him up. And by all counts, this man was a lost cause, except for Jesus. Jesus saw someone worth saving, worth rescuing, and worth delivering. Accounts like these transforms and forces us to perceive the truth that God's kingdom best takes root in the marginalized and in the outcasts, those seemingly deemed most insignificant. And in our mission to love our neighbors, not only will we find ourselves in situations outside of our comfort zones, but in those moments, we will need to rely on Jesus' authority over our own. God's kingdom in the Gospel of Mark comes with power, and we see Jesus' authority in many of Mark's gospel accounts, not the least of which, again, is the one right before our passage this morning of Jesus calming the storm. And even after this account, we see Jesus' authority in healing a sick woman and raising a dead girl back to life. Even after that, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples to preach, teach, and anoint many people. Mark chapter 6 talks about how they drove out many demons and anointed the many sick people and healed them, all done because of the authority of Jesus. Simply put, being a good neighbor relies on the authority of Jesus. Loving people and going out of our way to serve all people, especially those who are oppressed or marginalized and outcast, calls us to put aside a sense of our own power and look to Jesus to use us for his purpose and his kingdom. Our third point this morning, acknowledging Jesus. At this point in our passage today, we read about how even though Jesus was still a distance away from the possessed man, he saw and ran to Jesus and bowed at his feet. Through further reading, we can see how the man shouted at the top of his voice, asking Jesus not to torture him. Jesus asked him what his name was, and the possessed man said, "Legion, for we are many." A legion of Roman soldiers back in the day is usually upwards to 6,000, not to say that this man had 6,000 spirits in him, evil spirits in him, but we can assume that there were many. The demons begged Jesus to send them into the nearby pigs, and Jesus did so. There were about 2,000 pigs, and once the demons entered them, they rushed into the lake and were drowned. There were many questions surrounding why the pigs were sent into the water. In those days, what was under the water symbolized the abyss, a metaphorical place where evil spirits come from. So this can simply be seen as Jesus sending them back to where they came from. But what is most interesting to me is what happens after the possessed man, isn't what happens after the possessed man arrives at Jesus' feet. It's instead what happens immediately following that. I want us to read a little bit from verse 14 to 17 of Mark chapter 5, which says, "Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region." Those who were tending to the pigs that had suddenly ran off the cliff ran back into town to tell all the people what had just happened. And when the people rushed out to see the previously possessed man perfectly healed and dressed and clean, they were afraid. You would think there would be gratitude or thankfulness or excitement or maybe an outbreak of revival. Instead, you find fear. They started out afraid of the demon-possessed man, and now they are afraid of Jesus. What had taken place had cost them their goods, their livelihood. The general thought must have been, what had the demoniac ever done or ever been to merit the loss of 2,000 pigs for his salvation? Whether we realize it or not, whether we realize it or not, we too often place a price on a human life every time we encounter another person. What do we see? Do we see someone made in the image of God, an image of Christ in all his glory and perfection, a priceless brother or sister? And how we see ourselves is often a direct relation on how we see others. Romans 13, 8 to 9 says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Throughout this series, we have defined who our neighbor is that we are called to love. But are we willing to say that we will go to them no matter the cost to us? Are we willing to see the value of a life that needs the love of Jesus, even if it calls us out of our comfort zones and into a place where we cannot afford to rely on our own authority? I do hope that after a month and a half long series talking about the subject that we can truthfully answer yes, because even so, we can read a little further and see the effect Jesus had on the man that was once possessed. Mark chapter 5, 18 to 20. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. The demoniac's response was a very different one from the townspeople. Obviously so. With all his heart, he wanted to follow Jesus and to be with him. He longed to be in Jesus' presence, and yet our Lord had other plans for him, to be a seed of faith that would ultimately spread to other people. And this is even more impactful when you consider Jesus listened to the other requests in this account. The demons begged to go into the pigs, and Jesus permitted them. The townspeople begged Jesus to leave their region, and Jesus left. But when the man asked to join Jesus, Jesus denied him. Perhaps you remember a parable from Mark chapter 4. Jesus said the word of the kingdom was like a seed going into the ground. On the right soil, a seed could produce crazy fruit, 30, 60, or 100-fold. It goes into the ground and almost imperceptibly produces a harvest. One seed has generations of orchards planted within it. And this man was a seed that Jesus had planted. Right there in the Decapolis, the man went and declared Jesus. And the word says that all those who heard him were amazed. And in fact, later on in his ministry, Jesus returned to the Decapolis again to preach and teach, and all listened to him. So for our application this morning, needless to say, there's a ton to unpack in this portion of Scripture, but I want to quickly reiterate a few of the points that we made throughout this message that would help us define what being a good neighbor means. And as I go through these, worship team, you can make your way back up. The first is that being a good neighbor means going outside of our comfort zones. Secondly, being a good neighbor means relying on the authority of Jesus over our own. And finally, being a good neighbor means seeing the value of even one life. This morning, I want to challenge us all, both here in the building and those who are watching online, to be willing to put aside our comfort, to go to the places that Jesus calls us to go, to the people who are in need, to those who are our neighbors, and trust in the authority of Jesus when our own is not enough. In this biblical account, we see Jesus going to the place where no one else was willing to go and reaching out to a person so lost that no one else was willing to go to him. And I mean, we aren't even sure if the disciples got out of the boat. And there are opportunities to be the neighbor that God calls us to be when we open our eyes to the people and to the places that no one else is willing to go. Is it outside of our comfort zone? Probably. Let's be honest. But if the church hopes to have any impact on the world today, it's not in reaching out to the people that we've been comfortable reaching out to up until now. It's reaching out to the margins and to the people that no one else are willing to go to. And in those moments where we do go, it's in those moments that our reliance will need to be on Jesus' authority and not our own abilities. It shouldn't be about the cost to us. It shouldn't be about our comfort level. It should be about the people we see that are in need of the love of Jesus. Are we willing to be the neighbor that Jesus demonstrated himself to be and calls us to emulate? We will find these people all around us, in our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, our homes. Maybe these are people we have walked past for years because we assume reaching them is beyond our own capabilities and outside of our comfort zone, so maybe the next Christian that walks by will take care of it. No, Jesus crosses to the other side, to a place where no one else would go for even one person. And so should we. So should we go, and we should go trusting in the authority of Jesus, and that no matter the result, he would ultimately be glorified in our willingness to simply go. The worship team is going to lead us in one more song this morning, and I invite you to stand with us. I encourage you to take the opportunity before you and ask God as we worship to simply open your heart to the places and to the people among us, around us, that need us to simply go. Trusting in the authority of Jesus when going takes us out of our comfort zones. It's a dangerous prayer. It really is. Because once Jesus opens our eyes and gives us the heart for the people around us, we can't ignore it any longer. But it's a prayer I believe every believer should pray, the goal of every believer. So would you join us in worshiping this morning?
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction, till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadow, burn like. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Let's sing that again. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Come on, let's declare this as well. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is lies. Nothing like your name. Nothing like your name. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Yeah. Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. No, break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like fire. Shout Jesus from the mountain.
Jesus in the street. Go ahead. Jesus in the darkness, so for every enemy. Hallelujah. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Come on, let's declare that name this morning. Shout Jesus. Jesus from the mountain, and Jesus in the streets. Oh, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. One more time, shout Jesus. Jesus from the mountain, hey, and Jesus in the streets. For every enemy, Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. For your name is power, your name is healing, your name. Break every storm, shine through the shadow, burn like before. Come on, let's declare that one more time. Your name is power, for your name is power. Your name is healing, your name is love. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadow, burn light.
So Jesus, we lift up your name in this place. God, we thank you for the call to love our neighbor. God, throughout this series, we have identified many different people, and we have, maybe you brought to mind many different people that you call us to reach out to. And so, Lord, may we not hesitate. And when we find it's outside of our comfort zones to go, God, may we learn and look to you as our comfort and as our and God, as Jesus, just as Lord. May we rely on your authority, Jesus, when our own is not enough. So God, as we go from this place today, may you go with each and every one of us. God, we lift up the prayer requests that have been unspoken, maybe that some of us in this building may have, Lord Jesus. You know our hearts, you know the hearts and the needs of your people, and we just ask to meet needs this week as we go about our daily lives. Jesus, may testimonies arise, may we be able to declare your goodness. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this all in your amazing name. Amen. Amen. God bless. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a great week ahead.